Well, I'd like to consider with you one verse that we read earlier from Isaiah's prophecy and chapter 51, and that's verse 3, Isaiah 51 and verse 3, where we read these words, "For the Lord shall comfort Zion. He will comfort all her waste places, and he will make her wilderness like Eden, and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein, thanksgiving and the voice of melody." The Lord shall comfort Zion. One of the great promises of Scripture. Way back there in the Old Testament, God promised that he would be a God unto his people and comfort them. So, for the messages today, I'd like to focus on this view of comfort. View of comfort. This morning, in more general terms, as God comforts the church and his people in the church, but then this afternoon to bring it closer to home, to ourselves, and how God comforts us. Because it's something that we need, isn't it? All of us need comfort, no matter who we are, what our circumstances are, whether we're young, whether we're old, whether we're middle-aged, whether we're rich, whether we're poor, whatever we are, we certainly need comfort, because life isn't a bed of roses, is it? Life is difficult. Life, for some particularly, may be very, very hard indeed. And I suppose it's fortunate, being a visitor, that you don't know individual circumstances, so I don't, hope I don't tread on any toes today. But life is a problem for us all, and I'm sure we all feel that, some more than others. It's hard. And some people dread waking up in the morning, because they have to face another day. As our faces differ, so do our needs. And some people seem to sort of sail through life, never having a problem, never having any difficulty. But for others, we need this. We need this word of comfort. Comfort. This is the message of Isaiah 51. In fact, you could say that this is the message of a lot of portions of God's word. This view of comfort, of support, of keeping, of sustaining, runs right the way through the Bible. And it's as if God is constantly having to remind us that he will be a God unto us. He will comfort us. He will be there for us. I am thy God, and ye are my people. The Lord shall comfort Zion. And the Bible is full of the promises of comfort, and we could spend the time that we have just looking at all those promises that we have, but I don't want to regurgitate a Cruden's Concordance to you. You can, if you have the time, you can look at the references yourself, but you'll see that comfort runs right through the Scripture. But having said that, I want to bring a few verses to your attention, not just to fill up the time, but to show you and to demonstrate that God's promises are throughout his word, and that they are for us today as much as for the people for whom they were written those many, many years ago. God is a God who communicates with us, and he's communicating to us today through his word. He wants us to understand what he will do for us as his people. So we'll bring a few verses before you. Sadly, sometimes our view of what we consider as comfort is opposite to what the Scripture would have, because often we see our views of comfort in material ways, in the way that we live in this world. And perhaps that isn't the way Scripture is speaking of comfort. Certainly we would like to be comfortable as we live our lives in this world, but comfort from a scriptural sense doesn't mean having everything this world can offer. And in fact, certainly some of the most comfortable people, if I can use that term, don't have very much of the world. So we mustn't look at our view of comfort as being comfortable in the world, because certainly as a believer, it's probably often the last thing you are, is being comfortable in the world. And I don't know if you feel this, particularly now as the world seems to be becoming more wicked and more evil, that we do not fit in. We are strangers and pilgrims in a foreign land as believers. So comfort isn't isn't in material things. Let's get that out of the way. We need material things. We need them to exist. We need food and we need warmth, especially living in Britain. We need a jolly good umbrella as we have this rain at the moment. We need certain things. But that's not the comfort that the scriptures speak of. Let's look at this text then that we read earlier, Isaiah 51 and verse 3, "For the Lord shall comfort Zion." Now just to put this into context, as they say, this is a point in the history of the Jews when they were almost at extinction level. They'd been captives in Babylon for many, many years. And they were at the point where the real Jewish nation almost had ceased to exist, because so many of them had gone over to the ways of the heathen. They'd intermarried, they'd settled down there, they had businesses there, their families were there. And really for them the last thing that they wanted to do at this time was to go back into Israel. They'd had a happy, comfortable life in Babylon. But what God is promising here is that his nation, his people, will once again be back in the land that he had promised to send them to. They'd had this period of exile, and now God is going to send them back. And it was a future event. It was something that the believing Jews then, the devout Jews then, were looking forward to, the return. They'd understood the prophecies, the return that they would have once more into Israel, Judah and Jerusalem. And often when preachers look at comfort, they tend to look at comfort in future terms. For God shall comfort Zion. And yes, he will comfort Zion. He will comfort his people. And a lot of people will say, that's in the future. God is going to comfort his people in the future. We'll have the comfort of the blessings of the knowledge of an eternal life with the Lord Jesus Christ. But what I want to try and show you today is that God, even though sometimes we can't perceive it, God comforts us now. On the 8th of July 2012, God is a God of comfort. It's not something that's reserved for future times. Of course, the best time will be in the future, but God has promised to be with his people now. He will comfort us now. Let me read a few scriptures to you. Psalm 68, "Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits." That's Psalm 68, verse 19. You see there what God does for us. "Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits." That's a promise that he will be with you, each one of you, dear believer, daily. We might not have the sense to feel it, to see it, to understand it, but God promises that every day of our life he will loadeth us with benefits. And I come back to what I said before, that isn't benefits in your bank balance. That isn't benefits in having the best that this world can offer. It's the benefits that God gives us as we have to live as Christians, as believers, in a strange world, a strange place, an alien place. He daily loadeth us with benefits. Psalm 37, the psalmist there, he says, "I've been young and now I'm old, yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken." Psalm 37 verse 25, if you're following me, "I have not seen the righteous forsaken." You can look back over a long life. He was old, he'd been young, he'd look back over the whole of his life and he said he'd never seen the righteous forsaken nor their seed begging bread. And I know sometimes for some believers, and particularly in some parts of the world at this time, it may seem that the Lord has forsaken them. Those that are in prison, those that suffer, those that are tortured, and so on, for the word of God. But the promise is there, even for them. Even then, they are daily loaded with benefits. All things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. All things work together for good. Can you grasp hold of that? All things work together for good. even those things that seem to be going against us, when the world is against us, when our friends are against us, when our relatives are against us, when even those of our own household might be against us, yet all things work together for good. If you're in a prison, being tortured, tied up, bound with chains, half-starved, all things work together for good. Because God is looking over a different timescale from us. He's looking over the timescale of the whole of your life and the whole of eternity. We get caught up and bound up in the now, don't we? It's what's happening to us now. And I'm sure you've all experienced days when you felt really elated and full of joy, and you can go out and bless the world, and there's other days where you just want to curl up in a corner somewhere and the world to pass you by because you've had enough of whatever is happening to you. But God says all things work together for good, for the whole of your life, not just now. If you look into the Bible, and I'd be happy to be corrected, but I haven't found a verse that tells us to look to the future, if you know what I mean. Look to tomorrow. But there are lots of verses which say, look back on all the way thy God has led thee. And if you can spend a few moments in meditation and thought about the way that God has led you in the past, you can see his mercy towards you. The way he's stopped you from doing certain things. The way he's led you in certain ways. And this is what the psalmist was saying. I've been young and been old. I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor their seed begging bread. He's looking back over his life, over the lives of those that he knew. And he said that God has always been with them. In the highs as well as the lows. God has always been with his people. That is the promise of Scripture. I will be a God unto you. Not the church to you as an individual. That is God's promise. God has sent his Son to die for you as an individual. This is a salvation that is personal. We could go on. We could look at many, many more scriptures. As one whom his mother comforteth, so I will comfort you, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem, was the promise to the ancient people of God. As one whom a mother comforts. Now, a mother comforts her child now, doesn't she? When the young boy or girl has fallen off their bike or fallen over, or they're ill or they've hurt themselves or they had a bad dream, and the mum doesn't say to them, well, don't worry, things will be all right, we'll sort that out tomorrow. No, it's a comfort now. It's a picking up in the arms. It's a holding close. It's a support. It's that feeling that God, someone is with them. That's how God deals with us. He comforts us now. As a mother comforteth, he comforts us. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercy and God of all comfort. All comfort. How does he do it? How does God provide comfort for us? And that's what I want to look at more closely as we go through this day. Well, you can turn to Isaiah 66 and 13, which is the verse I just quoted to, if you want. As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. Paul tells us in Corinthians, he is the Father of mercies. He is the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort. Now, do you notice where God, in the Holy Spirit, through his word, places the emphasis here? In Isaiah 16, as one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you. It's you, it's individual, it's personal, it's specific. It's down to you. God is the provider of all comfort. Now, we get some comfort in the world, that's certain, but not the comfort that we really need. Not the comfort that we need to live the Christian life throughout the world, but in the world rather. But God comes and gives us this great promise. The Father of mercies, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of all comfort will come and be a mother unto you. Now, you mothers here will know what that means. He will be a mother unto you. And of course the great emphasis there is on protection, isn't it? protection and security and guidance, that God will come and be like a parent unto us. He will be with us in all that we have to do. Every aspect of our life, God is intimately concerned with. Our God isn't the God who saves us, then withdraws, and then comes back at the time of death. Our God is a God who is with us all the time. All of our life, God is with us, being a God unto us in every single aspect of our life. Surely that's what sovereignty means, isn't it? When we speak of a sovereign God, He is a God who is in charge. He is a God who is in control. There's nothing that can catch Him out. It's not that He can look upon His people and say, well, I didn't expect that to happen to them, so what am I going to do now? No, He knows the end from the beginning. He knows all about the world. He knows the history of the world. He knows what's going to happen to us in our lives. He can be the one who is sovereign to us, our almighty protector, almighty God, as one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. Ye shall be comforted. There's the tremendous promise there. Let's be quite basic for a moment. Where is the point in coming to God, if you think of prayer for a moment? What is the point of coming to God if He can not give us anything? If he just left us to our own devices? If God had withdrawn Himself from us once we were converted? What is the point of coming to God? What's the point of worshipping God in this way? We might as well just go and enjoy ourselves, as they say, like the rest of the world is. Go and do what we want to do. The experience of the saints of old shows us that the blessing comes from that fellowship that we can have and we can enjoy with God. We don't see God's presence with us here today, but we know through the promises of His word that He has promised to be with His people where they are. And it's that fellowship that we can enjoy and that communion that we can enjoy with God. It's that way that we can pour out all our burdens and complaints. We can cast our burdens upon the Lord. That means to throw them at the Lord and say, help me with these. Help me. It's beyond my power to cope with. I have no strength, no might within myself to cope with my present circumstance. Come and help me. What's the point of doing that if God cannot help us? But He has promised us throughout His word, He is going to be the God who is the Father of mercies, the God who comforts, the God of all comfort, the one whom we can say hopefully at the end of our lives that we have been young and now old, and yet we can look back and say that we've never really seen ourselves forsaken. We've never really been in that situation where we've had to beg bread. Even the base temporal needs of our existence, God gives us. Comfort, in a godly sense, hinges around what God is. He is sovereign, He is powerful, He is merciful, He is kind, He is long-suffering, His loving kindness towards us. God not only can be the God of all comfort, but He can provide comfort. Because He's the only one who really can comfort us when we need it. He knows the end from the beginning. He's written history, if you like. He knows exactly what you as an individual need, when you need it, how to supply it, and also He can supply it. He can apply the comfort exactly when you need it. We'll see more of this afternoon. But He knows all about you, each one of us. He knows every thought that's going through your head at the moment. He knows every worry you have, every trial you have, every tribulation you have, every concern that you have. He knows intimately because He knows the very thoughts in our minds. He knows every path, every step that we shall take in our lives. He is a sovereign God. And when we need comfort, he can come and apply it when we need it. Not when we think we need it, but when God thinks we need it. God is the provider of all comfort. There is no one else. And say that quite dogmatically. There is no one else. We can have comfort, of course, from our friends and our relatives, and sometimes from people that we mix with in the world. They can be a great comfort to us, and where we find ourselves. But true comfort, comfort that you can base your life upon, a comfort that enables you to go through the life that you've been given with some degree of comfort and being settled in this world. It only comes from God. You can't get it from the world. You can't get it from material things. You can't get it from your possessions. You can't get it from your job. You can't get it from your bank balance and so on. It has to come through God. Think of some of the ways that God comforts us, that God provides comfort. I'm sure most of these you'll know. God protects us. The ancient people of old, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth even forever. The Lord is my rock and my fortress. This is some of the psalms that the old people of God, the Israel of old, would have found as a comfort to them in all their journeyings, in their distresses, in their wars and so on, in their exile, that God protects us. He is the Lord that encampeth round about his people. Can you get that picture into your minds? That around us now is the Lord. We don't see it, we don't feel it, and perhaps best that we don't, but around us is the Lord. He encamps around his people. He is that wall of salvation, if you like, around his people. There is an unseen force around each one of his individual people. It is the Lord God Almighty, the angel of the Lord. Do you believe in angels? I'm not talking about guardian angels, but do you believe in angels? That there are this unseen army, if you like, of God's messengers, God's servants, who come and do his bidding? They are there. Oh, that we can have our eyes open sometimes to see what's really going on in the world. Not to listen to the news and what the media wants to pour out of us, but what is really going on in the world. Listen to me, do you understand that this is God's world? That God has a purpose for this world? His purpose is eventually to destroy this world and to build a new Jerusalem, as it were. But he has a purpose for this world. Do you think, like some of the evolutionists, that God has wound up the universe like clockwork and it's just ticking away until it dies and goes into entropy? God has a purpose. God is concerned for the thing that he has made. He's created a world in 6 days. He supports this world. He's given all the laws of physics, the laws of nature as they call them, to continue this world. Because there's a purpose for it. He has designed a purpose into it. That one day this earth will be dissolved once every single member of the family of God has been adopted into that family. That's what God is doing. Things that happen in the world aren't random. They speak today of chaos theory, if you're interested in those sort of things. We have the Large Hadron Collider, don't we? Looking for a Higgs boson and all those sorts of things. That's man trying to understand the world he lives in. But God isn't letting these things out of control. It is his world. He created it. Do you think he's going to leave it? And dear believer, if you're a member of the family of God, adopted into the family of God, which is another promise of Scripture, do you think he's going to leave you completely unprotected, at the mercy of the heathen, of the wicked and evil in this world, at the mercy of the devil? Do you think he's going to leave you completely alone, just to live your life in the hope that at the end of it you've done enough to gain entrance into heaven? No, he is going to be a God unto each one of us, those that believe, those that have been washed in that precious blood. That's what we mean by God. God, an all-powerful being, who is omnipotent, omniscient, almighty, all the words that the scriptures use to describe him. God is going to make sure that you are protected as a pilgrim. You are protected in your daily life, in all that the world throws at you. He's going to be with you. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, as the mountains are round about Jerusalem. So is God with us, not just on the Lord's Day, but every day of our lives, every night of our lives, when we're at our most weakest, when we're asleep and in bed. God protects us. He is our rock, he is our fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I trust, my buckler, the horn of my salvation, my high tower. God provides all things necessary for us. He provides all things necessary for us. Not what we want. We could all give a list as long as our arm of things that we want. But he provides what we need. I'm old, I have been young, said the psalmist, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Clothing, food, protection, shelter, warmth, all these things God gives unto his people. The abilities that individuals have are God-given for them to live their lives. Everything that we need to live here, where he has placed us, we are given from God. Of course, we all want to be different, don't we? We all want to be, I don't know, shorter, taller, thinner, fatter, whatever it might be. Got curly hair, you want straight hair. If you've got straight hair, you want curly hair, and so on. We all want to be different, but God has made us and placed us where he wants us to be, and he's given us the ability to live where we are, in the place that he has set us, because it is God's world. God comforts us through his word, through the Lord Jesus Christ, and all his spoken to those disciples of old that's been recorded for us there. The whole of the scriptures are given to us as a comfort. These things I've spoken unto you, said the Lord Jesus Christ in that upper room, that in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world. He comforts us with these words that we have here, life-giving words, knowledge of salvation, the preaching, the ministry that we have week by week, all there to uphold us, to maintain us, to help us to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Everything that we need. We have the comfort of prayer. And perhaps this is the one thing that we neglect more than anything else, is the comfort of prayer. Who else in the world could we really go to? We've had the Queen's Jubilee this year, but if you went try to get into Buckingham Palace and try and speak with the Queen for a while and say, this is what I think you should do to the country, well, you wouldn't get past the machine gun at the front door, would you? We can go to God. We can go to God and pour out every single complaint, tribulation, trial, difficulty, thanks even to God for his goodness to us. We can go to Almighty God, and we can do that any time of the day or the night, wherever we are, in whatever circumstance we are. Sometimes even when it's the last thing we want to do is pray, we can go to God and talk to him and say to him, I need comfort now. I need help. Look at the situation I'm in. Look where thou hast placed me. Help me through it. Give me the aid. Give me the comfort I need. Give me the strength. Give me the ability to endure whatever it is that's troubling you at this time. God is there for us. We supposedly live in a 24/7 society, don't we? But God, try it and see if it really is. But God is there for us 24/7. He's there for us every day of our life, every hour, every minute, every second. God is there for us. And you can pray anywhere, can't you? You don't need to trot off into a little chapel somewhere. You can pray wherever you are, wherever you can get away. And even silent prayers sometimes in times of great difficulty, you can give up to God. And He hears. He has promised to hear His people. He's promised to be a God unto them. He's promised to be with them. Where else could you get that in the world? Where else could you get that from? Even in your family, could you go to with every single complaint that you have and every problem that you have? Because God can deal with everything. There are some things that we wouldn't want to bring to our nearest and dearest, but God can deal with everything. He is a wise counsellor who has the power really to answer our needs or to really listen. But God, who else can really give us the things that we need but God? The world cannot. Ask and it shall be given you. That's why we're here, isn't it? That we believe that in worshipping God there is this communion, this act of grace, as they say, that we are with God, that God is hearing us, God is listening to us, He's with us, He's accepting our worship, and He'll be the God that comes and blesses us and gives us the strength to go on into yet another week with all that we have to face. If you don't believe it, then, and put it in the best way I can, you're wasting your time. God comforts us through all His promises, and time is running out, but we could go through the whole of the Bible and look at all the promises of God. Every promise is for His people, for the church. He's giving us exceeding precious promises. And they're all for us. They're not for somebody else. They're not for a neighbour. They're for you. Everything in this word is for you, dear believer. It's a promise for you from God your Father, the one who keeps you, maintains you, protects you, and so on. It is for you. It is a promise for you. They're not paper promises. These are real promises. This is God telling us through His word what He wants us to know about Himself and about ourselves, but about what He's doing for us and the way He's going to be with us. This is a promise to you. It's not a promise that runs out in 12 months like so many guarantees. It is a promise for eternity. A promise that He'll be with us now and even in the future and forevermore. God can comfort us through sometimes the comfort that we can be to others. And how many times have you known that just someone being with you, perhaps, when you've had times of difficulty and trial, not even speaking to you, not trying to give you any wise counsel, but just someone who's there, someone that you know you can rely on. We can be a great comfort to others without even knowing it. There are many people who come into a church and into a congregation or prayer meeting, and they delight in the fact that they know Mr. So-and-so is there or Mrs. So-and-so is there, because they're there, they know they're supporting them. And that we can be a comfort to people like that without really ever understanding it. Just that mutual support of fellowship and communion with the saints. And we often forget this because fellowship is so common, isn't it? Even though there's a few of us, it is common to have times of fellowship one with another. But there are some believers who would love to meet one other believer. And you think of people in the rest of the world, they never see another believer from one day to the next. And so to come here, even if we never spoke to them, the comfort that they'd have from meeting in a congregation like this. How can you be sure of all this I've said this morning? It's all very well me standing up here and saying all these things, but where's the assurance of this? Where's the certainty of this? Well, because it's not dependent on what a preacher says. This isn't some theory that a scientist has dreamt up somewhere in Oxford or Cambridge. This is rock truth reality, because it's all dependent on one person, one individual, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. All the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen. It is through the Lord Jesus Christ that all these promises accrue unto us, all these comforts accrue unto us. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? That's the promise that we have. The God who is willing to send his son into the world to die on a cross, that cruel death of crucifixion, for you, is he going to leave you at the last to your own devices? All the promises of God are in him, in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, God isn't capricious. He doesn't bless us at one minute and blast us the next. He is immutable. He is the same. He doesn't have our nature. His promises are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. They've been set there. They've been sealed there. What God has done for us in salvation is what he's doing for us every day. You see, salvation isn't a matter of a moment. I think a lot of people think that conversion and salvation, that's a sort of moment in time. And so many people say, oh, I remember when I was converted, it was at 10:45 a.m. on the whenever. And it's as if that salvation stops for them then, and then they carry on their life. So it's a salvation for your life. Do you understand that? The Lord Jesus Christ has died for you, not for a moment in time when he converts you. He has died for you. His aim is to get you to heaven, because that's why he came into the world, to die for you, dear believer, to shed his blood that your sins might be forgiven, that you might be made acceptable unto God the Father and go with him into heaven at the end. Salvation is for life and eternity. And all these promises, which are yea and amen are him, are for life and for eternity. It is a perpetual salvation that we have. You can't be, like some preach, you can't be saved one day and lost the next. What sort of God would do that? What sort of God would give you the impression that he saved you only to turn his back upon you and let you go back into the world the next? You are saved forever. And if God has saved you in his sovereign purpose and his sovereign mercy, he is going to be with you. He is going to be a God unto you. We read in that Isaiah 51 there about Abraham and Sarah. And the promise came to Abraham that he would have a child in his old age. And Sarah was there in the tent. And we often remember the account there that Sarah laughed, didn't she, in the tent? Because it had ceased to be with her as it was with the manner of women. And in her old age, she thought, this is ridiculous. This is impossible, that what these things, these men, the angel of the Lord, are saying. For me to have a child now? But Abraham laughed as well. And we know the promise was eventually made true, that they did have a child, Isaac. Do you know what the word Isaac means in Hebrew? It means will laugh or have laughed. Every time they saw Isaac, it was a perpetual reminder to them that one day God gave them a promise that they didn't believe. How many times has God done that in your life? That we've worried, we've fretted, we've stressed, we've had sleepless nights about things. And yet when we look back, we see God in the way through it. Perhaps it hasn't happened to you, and it's happened to me many times, happened this last week, that God has been there with us. And we can't feel it at the time, because we can't see the end from the beginning. But God has been there with us, and his promises are there. They are yea and amen in Jesus Christ. Because God has made us his people, he has made us joint heirs with Christ Jesus. All that he has is ours. All that he has is ours. And the most valuable thing that we could ever want or need, he has given us, and that is our life. Not our life now, but our life in the future. Our life with him. A life that will be lived to the full with the Lord Jesus Christ in eternity with God the Father in that mansion which even now he's preparing for you. For each one of us, if you're a blood-washed believer, he's preparing for your entrance into heaven at that great day. Peter said, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. God's promises have never failed. They have never failed. All that God has promised has come to pass. Do you remember the devil in the garden when he tempted Eve there? He said, hath God said? Hath God said? And of course we know that she ignored the promise of God and she took of that fruit and the promise of God came true. And the day ye eat thereof, ye shall die. And although they lived for a long, long time, eventually Adam and Eve died the death that we shall all die. But has God said in his word? Has God said? Well, the answer is yes. He has most emphatically said. He has emphatically given us many great and precious promises. Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel, according to all that he promised. There hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses his servant. And so it goes on. From those times in history right up until 2012, the promise of God is working its purpose out, because he is working his sovereign purpose out in the world and in each one of our lives. What more? What more could we want than this? As believers, what more could we want than what God has promised us? What more could he give us? He has given us a salvation that is yea and amen in Christ Jesus. He has given us an eternal life that is yea and amen in Christ Jesus. He has given us his Son to die, the God-man, dying for us. What more could he do? What more could we need? What more could we want? For the Lord shall comfort. That's his promise. That's our comfort. He shall comfort. He will comfort all our waste places. Let's make this personal. He will comfort all our waste places. He will make our wilderness like Eden and our desert like the garden of the Lord. And gladness and joy and thanksgiving and the voice of melody shall be found therein. What a salvation we have, dear friends. What a salvation. It is for now, it's for next week, it's for next year, it is for all eternity. The Lord shall comfort Zion. Or may he bless his word to us.